by an Iranian missile on Wednesday, killing everyone on board, 57 of the 176 passengers being Canadian. Continuing to be highlighted in the news are the forest fires in Australia, but what was particularly devastating was the news that 1 billion animals have disappeared. 1 billion animals have died because of the fire and because of the smoke. There are continuing crises, economic and political, throughout the world, and you might be thinking, I didn't come to church to hear all this depressing news. Yet it is in this very distressing reality that makes it so very clear our need for hope and comfort and what we can do with the freedom that we have. I wonder if Simeon from our story felt a similar distress because of the circumstances that made up his reality. We know Simeon was a good man. Simeon was a good man who cared for his neighbor and showed hospitality to the stranger, keeping God's commands. He didn't just pray for the widow next door with a brother who cared more about his own family than his actual sister. So Simeon had his own sister drop off groceries to the widow every now and again. And when he'd see a stranger resting on the dirt path by his home on hot, dusty days, he'd offer the shade of his home and something to drink. But just because you're good doesn't mean that the world is fair or that the local powers are just. And the Romans were everywhere. Not only did they invade the most sacred holy of holies in the temple, but they stole the temple treasure to finance their battles, and they taxed and they taxed and installed local puppet governors like Herod, the slaughterer of innocents. Rome's presence was felt everywhere, and the Jews felt a keen loss. A loss of independence, a loss of freedom. Moreover, the Jewish community was a fractured one in Simeon's time. Jews supported various groups with various leaders, and they were divided by various hopes and desires for their nation, for their people. Not unlike the divisions in religious groups today, including our own. Divisions in political powers, and even our nation with Wexit. It could have been very easy for Simeon to become discouraged and to give in to despair. But Simeon was a good man who lived in prayerful expectancy. Simeon cared for his neighbor and showed hospitality to the stranger while eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Sure, it bothered him when his neighbors didn't recycle properly. Sure, it troubled him when people would hose down their sidewalks outside their homes without a thought for the thousands of kilometers women and children will walk a year to get water. Sure, it would frustrate him when people would complain about the state of the world and do nothing about it. But still, Simeon was a good man who waited for Israel's consolation, for Israel to be comforted, for Israel to be freed. Freedom, having choice without fearing retaliation, being independent and not enslaved, whether it might be to an addiction, a factory, a human trafficker. Freedom, not having the weight of financial stress or the overwhelming burden of solely looking after a loved one. The ability to travel and speak with ease, to be able to vote. Freedom. As one 19th century Christian novelist wrote, there are two freedoms. The false, where man is free to do what he likes. And I will add, where a woman is free to do as she likes. The true, where he or she is free to do what he or she or they ought. As Christians, we use a Christological lens to understand the gift of the infant Christ child, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. We can understand Simeon's story as waiting for freedom, waiting for freedom. Freedom that the Messiah brings through salvation. Freedom that is freely given but not necessarily valued or understood. wasn't necessarily valued or understood in Jesus' time and not necessarily valued or understood even in our time. A freedom that empowers those who follow the way, truth, and life to live an abundant life. But what does that abundance mean? Abundance doesn't mean problem-free or easy. Abundant life is life continuous, a satisfying, rich life, despite the sometimes harsh realities that accompany our humanity, because people will misuse their free will. There are natural disasters. Friends move away. Parents separate. Loved ones die. Life isn't easy. There's this fallacy in the 21st century that somehow life should be easy. But that's not the truth. Life isn't easy. And our instinct is often to protect our loved ones. And I especially remember feeling this when my children were babies and I'd watch them sleep, marveling at how peaceful they looked in their slumber versus what they were like when they were awake. As people who love deeply, few, if any of us, would want harm or great strife to crash into the lives of our loved ones. But does the act of protecting our loved ones from hardship or loss empower them to live rich and satisfying and abundant life? A life full of meaning and purpose. An abundant life that Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life came to give. The freedom that comes with the abundant life Jesus gives is a gift freely given. This freely given gift of the Christ child, the Messiah, the one who saves by freeing us, who we have been created to be. This freely given gift is a freedom that empowers. This freedom empowers because when we live from an understanding of who we've been created to be, we are then really freed to live, to truly live. And we live, really live, as God helps us face discouragement and despair. We live, really live, as God helps us endure disappointment and learn from loss. We really live as God deepens our gratitude, increases our joy, and enriches the love in our lives. And as we really live, we can be like Anna who praises God. We can praise God for the freely given gift of Christ, who frees us to live out who we've been created to be. So what might freedom and really living look like for us today? It might look like Mark Weaver's story, an ordinary young man who was challenged by the words of another Christian about giving away one's possessions, based on the words of Christ himself. And although Mark didn't own anything personally, a visit to the show The Price is Right, who here remembers The Price is Right with Bob Barker? Well, a visit to that show would change things. So let us watch a clip now, a little clip story.
While I was in California, I started reading The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne. So my twin brother Rick, he sent me a copy of the book. And as I was reading it, I was totally inspired, and I was feeling convicted inside living in one of the richest communities in America in Orange County, California, and I was part of these mega churches. I wasn't living as selfless as I could be, and would you really give all your possessions away, sell them to the poor, and follow me? And I was challenged and convicted, would I really do something like that? But I kind of shrugged it off. I was like, well, I really don't even have any possessions. But the next day, some of my friends came to visit me from Indiana and California, and they wanted to go get on the show The Price is Right.
Here it comes from the Bob Barker Studio at CBS in Hollywood.
We got in line, and they actually called my name up.
And Mark Weaver, come on down.
The actual retail price is $14.49. Mark, you're a winner. Mark, you're a winner.
60, Bob.
60. He's going to try 60. We're looking for the back of the car, and there it is. $17,260. I'll shake the hand of a winner. You have to beat 85 cents to get into the showcase, and you did it. You will be in the showcase at the end of the show.
With his new range. In romantic Paris. Of a brand new convertible.
$6,192. Mark is the winner.
I ended up winning the whole showcase showdown on The Price is Right. I won almost $60,000 in prizes. I won two cars, a trip for two to Paris, a stove, and a rug. It was really cool. But then I remembered the words that Shane wrote in his book, so I decided to sell the two cars that I won on the show right back to the dealership, and I used the money to fly to Uganda, Africa, and I just decided to live in an orphanage for a while and just give all the money away to them.
You might break me, and if I say too much.
The orphanage Mark lived in is for children who lost their parents to AIDS. For each one of these beautiful children here, two people died from the AIDS epidemic.
Nothing ever felt better than to just give away the money rather than to keep it and get something for myself. I've never been without a meal. I've never been without a shirt on my back. Stuff like that is the least I could do. And if everybody gave a little bit like that, I think this world would be a better place.
We'll be right back.
Some 15 years ago, Mark mostly helped out at Canaan Children's Home, and he also lived in a refugee camp. He lived there for a while to help teach students, and although he freely chose to live in harsh circumstances, these experiences changed his life. He learned that it feels better to give than to receive. And he believes that if everyone decided to use their possessions to help others, then this world would be a better place. God freely gives us this gift of freedom. One way to understand salvation in Jesus Christ. May we freely receive this gift and in turn freely give. Amen.